A teenage boy stands before a massive quotation board in a cramped brokerage office, chalk in hand, frantically updating stock prices as they clatter through the ticker. Most kids his age are still in school, but this boy has dropped out to post numbers all day. What makes his story remarkable isn't just that he'll become one of history's greatest traders. It's that within months of starting this job, he'll earn more money than grown men with decades of experience. His secret? He stopped seeing these as just numbers. While everyone else viewed the board as information to be recorded, he saw it as a language to be decoded, a rhythm to be understood, patterns revealing themselves to anyone patient enough to watch. Jesse Livermore's journey, thinly disguised in Edwin Lefebvre's 1923 masterpiece, remains Wall Street's most enduring education. Warren Buffett calls it his favorite investing book. Hedge fund titans like Paul Tudor Jones and Stephen Cohen consider it required reading. Nearly a century after publication, it's never gone out of print. Why? Because while technology has transformed how we trade, the psychological forces driving markets, fear, greed, hope, and denial, remain unchanged. The greatest challenge in trading isn't mastering charts or algorithms, it's mastering yourself. As a quotation board boy, he developed an intimate relationship with stock movements. He noticed railroad stocks had distinct personalities, some leading markets, others lagging. He kept a notebook documenting volume patterns, price reactions, and sector correlations. At 14, an older boy offered a tip on Burlington stock. Instead of blindly following it, he checked his notes. Burlington showed characteristic pre-rise behavior, increased volume, stability during dips. They traded through a bucket shop, a gambling establishment betting against customers. He made $3.12 and confirmed price patterns could predict movements. His bucket shop success quickly outpaced his office salary. By 15, he'd earned $1,000. Smaller shops banned him, dubbing him the Boy Plunger. Eventually, only one shop accepted his trades, imposing harsh conditions: higher margins, premium pricing, larger deposits. He kept winning. This revealed something profound. Nothing in Wall Street is new. The same patterns of fear, greed, and manipulation in gambling dens played out in legitimate markets. Speculation is ancient. Patterns repeat because human nature never changes. These bucket shop experiences developed invaluable skills: tape reading, pattern recognition, and trusting observations over tips and rumors. Success in trading requires belief in yourself and your judgment. Yet the hardest lesson took 5 years to learn: making big money when right. The paradox: being right about market direction is relatively easy, but being right and sitting tight is rare. Most traders exit too early, taking small profits when they should be making fortunes. Despite predicting moves correctly, he wasn't making proportional money. His conservatism, taking small profits, waiting for reactions that never came, was costly. Where he should have made $20,000, he made $2,000. Then he met Old Turkey, an older trader who always said, "You know, it's a bull market." When urged to sell for profit and buy back cheaper, Turkey refused, saying he'd lose his position. This wisdom clicked. Big money wasn't in catching every fluctuation, but in riding the main movements. The speculator's chief enemies are hope and fear. When the market goes against you, hope makes you lose more than you should. When it goes your way, fear makes you exit too soon. Successful trading requires reversing these natural impulses. Spring 1906 found him vacationing in Atlantic City, completely out of stocks. At a local branch office, he experienced an overwhelming urge to sell Union Pacific despite the bullish market. He sold 3,000 shares with no logical explanation, abandoned his vacation, and returned to New York. The next day, the San Francisco earthquake struck. The market opened only slightly down, failing to grasp the disaster's magnitude. He increased his short position to 10,000 shares, making $250,000, his biggest win yet. That summer, Union Pacific showed accumulation patterns around 160. Then a friend warned that insiders were dumping stock. Despite his tape reading indicating buying pressure, he trusted the tip and sold everything, then went short 4,000 shares. The next day, Union Pacific declared an unprecedented 10% dividend. The market exploded. He immediately recognized his catastrophic mistake, ignoring his own convictions for someone else's suspicions. He covered his shorts, losing $40,000. But then he followed what the tape was telling him and went long 4,000 shares, making back his loss plus $15,000. This experience marked his transition from haphazard trading to analyzing basic market conditions. The lesson? Your own well-researched convictions will always outperform someone else's inside information. His position-building approach was systematic. Buy on a rising scale, never declining. If he bought 2,000 shares at 110 and it rose to 111, he'd buy 2,000 more. At 114, another 2,000. Then wait for a reaction. How the market absorbed his purchases told him everything. If shares came too easily, something was wrong. He illustrated this with Deacon White, a legendary operator. Tipped that a financier was buying sugar stock, the Deacon sold 10,000 shares, then another 10,000. When both lots were absorbed by a rising market, he knew accumulation was real. Only then did he cover his shorts and go long 30,000 shares. Think of it like testing ice before skating across a frozen lake. You don't just run out because someone said it's safe. You tap it, walk carefully, test its strength at every step. Never make a second trade unless the first shows profit. In cotton, he'd start with 10,000 bales. If it rose 10 points, he'd add another 10,000. If his initial purchase showed loss, he'd exit immediately. This ensured he always participated in real movements, even if testing cost $50,000 to $60,000. The Union Pacific incident freed him from tips and talk. He could read the tape better than most, loyal only to being right. October 24, 1907 became unforgettable. Money vanished at any price. Brokers couldn't sell stocks because no buyers existed. J.P. Morgan saved the market by ordering banks to deploy reserves, injecting $20 million. That day, his winnings exceeded $1 million. He'd become king of the market. Then came his first million-dollar mistake. Percy Thomas, a charismatic cotton speculator, visited repeatedly. The constant barrage of facts undermined his confidence and independent thinking, dangerous for any trader. He covered his shorts, went long, and accumulated 60,000 bales, foolishly following another man's game. When the market stalled, instead of cutting losses, he catastrophically tried holding up the market himself. His position ballooned to 440,000 bales. Meanwhile, he held profitable wheat. Feeling unwell and nervous, he sold his profitable wheat and kept his losing cotton. Wheat subsequently rose 20 cents per bushel. He could have made $8 million. Instead, he lost nearly everything. This costly lesson exposed his susceptibility to magnetic personalities. Speculation will never disappear. Beyond unpredictable forces like nature and accidents, speculators face four deadly enemies: ignorance, greed, fear, and hope. These human traits cannot be legislated away. But there's another danger: deliberate misinformation disguised as helpful tips. The manipulation pattern is predictable. When business improves, insiders silently accumulate cheap stock, driving prices up. Once positioned, bullish rumors suddenly emerge. The public buys, pushing prices higher. When conditions worsen, insiders quietly sell while publicly blaming bear raids and insisting business has never been better, preventing public selling when insiders won't support the stock. Years of experience convinced him that no one consistently beats the market. Wall Street professionals know that acting on inside tips breaks traders faster than any catastrophe. After nearly 30 years, he reached a profound conclusion. You may beat individual stocks, but you cannot beat the markets themselves.
The fundamentals are simple. Continuous buying makes stocks rise. When they turn downward with only small rallies, the trend has changed. Markets are human enterprises, driven by the same emotions that governed them in 1907 and will govern them in 2107. Technology changes. Human nature doesn't. The trader who masters patience, trusts verified observations over rumors, and sits tight during the right trends has learned what took a boy plunger a lifetime to understand.